Check, check. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? So I'm going to open this morning. Yesterday, me and my family, we went and hung out with some friends out in Goldendale. At my friend's mom is buying or bought a property out there, and I'm not necessarily an outdoors guy, but we had a good time. But it was out on the property. It's 5 acres, and they're planning to build on it. But right now, there's hardly anything. There's like a trailer, and there was a garage that was there that they converted into not even a living space. There's like some beds in there, just, you know, and it's insulated and whatnot. But that's it. The rest of it is just trees and brush and sage, deer poop. Like, it's just wilderness. Okay, I had no service. I was miserable. No. But we got there, and it was cold. It got cold, increasingly cold. And we got there, and everybody gets out of the car, and my youngest daughter, Ileana, gets out, and she's like, okay, cool. And she kind of takes in the outside, and she's like, great. And then she sees the garage that is converted into this space, and she sees kind of people going in and out of it. And she's like, I want to go in there. And I was like, well, we're here to be outside. So why do you want? I didn't even know it was in there. I didn't know. So I was like, you got to be outside. Like, that's where we're here. You have your coat. You have your boots. Like, we're here to be outside. If I have to be outside, you have to be outside. And anyways, she wore us down. Eventually, she ended up going inside. And again, there's like beds. And this is where kind of the kids would hang out. I came to find out. Yeah, and there's a TV in there and stuff. And anyways, probably about 95% of the day, we were there for a good 7 hours, 95% of the time, Leanna was inside that space. While we're out there, we're enjoying the fire, and we're enjoying, you know, just this wilderness, and taking it all in, and people are riding, you know, the quad, and all that stuff. She's inside. Because she knows that I've experienced warmth and comfort, and I know that that little space has those things, right? Like, I don't want to be outside dirty and cold around the bugs and whatever. I want to be inside the warm place that has a heater and a TV and a bed that I can jump on and my toys that I can play with, right? And I think it's really, for me, when I was thinking about this yesterday as I was watching this take place, I was like, that's us when we experience the Lord and when we get a taste of what the Lord has for us, we then know there's nothing else that I want to be a part of. I want to be there. I don't want to be out here uncomfortable. I want to be where the Lord is, right? In Psalms 34, there's the verse, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I want to read it in the Passion. It says, drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn to hide themselves in him. Worship in awe and wonder all you who've been made holy, for all who fear him will feast with plenty. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be where the Lord is. And so this morning, what we get to do is we get to step into that. Not just because we're in this building, not just because, you know, we're going to play some pretty songs, but because we get to make the conscious decision, the intentional decision to say, Lord, I'm going to go from being on the outside where maybe I'm a little bit uncomfortable and I don't, you know, I'm lost and I'm burdened and I feel like a mess, to coming into your presence, coming into your house where you are the comforter, you are the healer, you are the peacemaker, the peace bringer. So you guys want to do that this morning? Let's just put our hands out like this as we receive just the blessing of the Lord. God, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that you not only have a space for us, but that space has an open door for us to walk in at any point. Lord, and that we would be like little Leanna, and we would run into that space with no apologies, with no apologies, that we would much rather be in there with you than outside and away from you. God, we don't want the promised land if you're not there. God, we don't want the milk and honey if your presence isn't there. We don't want to be here today, Jesus, and just doing church if you're not here. If you're not in this, God, we'll shut it all down and go home. So we thank you, Father. We thank you that you're here in this place. Lord, that you have a special word and anointing and a touch from heaven for each of us individually. Lord, although we're small in numbers, Lord, we're mighty in spirit. And we thank you, God. We thank you, God, Lord, that you are desiring to touch your children today, God. And I just release right now, I release and I declare a touch from heaven over your children today, God. Lord, that whatever we're carrying, we would lay down at your feet. Lord, whatever we're desiring, whatever we're striving after, Lord, that the striving would go away, Lord, but you would bless us, Lord, with our heart's desires, Lord, that healings right now, healings in bodies right now would just take place. Pain that's been plaguing anybody in this room would just be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, that you took care of that pain 2,000 years ago on the cross, Lord, and right now, pain must stop, sickness must stop. You don't exist in this place. You do not have permission, pain. You do not have permission, sickness. You do not have permission, depression, anxiety, sadness. You don't have permission in this place anymore. And we just call down heaven right now in this place. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come on, just begin thanking him this morning for who he is in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you that there's breath in my lungs. We thank you I have limbs to walk on. Thank you I have limbs to use, God. Thank you, I have eyes to see, Lord, lungs to breathe in and out. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my pastors. Thank you, Jesus. 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 The Seahawks are going to win today. Thank you, Jesus. Believe in miracles, you can believe the Seahawks will win today. And I've searched the world.
There's nothing. light, like shooting stars, burning out the night, till heaven's open, we rise.
Join with heaven's song.
another song. Take me back to where we start. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forget that you're enough. Take me back.
I want you guys to take a minute. I just want you guys to put your hands out, because I just feel like I got this vision of our Father as the potter, and you guys are his vessels, and he just wants you. He doesn't matter if there's cracks or holes. He's that potter that's going to put it exactly how it needs to and just be able to infuse himself in there and allow him to perfect those things that we call imperfections. So just wait here for a moment. And as I sing that, I just want you, that's the Lord. He just wants you. He just wants you. Nothing else will do.
I just want you. I just want you.
I
no one else will do.
I just want you. I just want you. I just want you.
No one else will do.
Thank you, Father. I thank you that you want to be here in our presence, God. I thank you that you want to sit at us, sit with us. Father, I love that you want to just be, and that no one else will do, God, that you created us to be in relationship with you, Father. God, I thank you that you, as a potter, love the condition that each one of us are in, no matter how broken. God, I love that you can come into those places and restore, God, us to our original beauty, and that you're able to shine through those cracks and pieces missing, Father, even more brightly, God, that people can see you when we submit ourselves to you, Father. So this is Thanksgiving, and we all have people that we know that just don't have the hope that we have. They're struggling, and they just don't have that peace that surpasses understanding right now. So if you guys will just begin to put just some words on your lips to the Lord and lift them up, that they would have a tangible and divine encounter with Him through this week. And that something would change for them, Lord, that their circumstances would begin to get better, Father. And even if their circumstances didn't change, God, that their perspective begins to, Lord, and that there would be a hope back in those, Lord, who don't know, don't have anything else, God. Lord, that You would meet us. Jesus. If you have someone that you want prayer for, just come on up. Just come to the altar undignified and begin to just lay them at His feet. If you have a prayer language, just begin to lift it up right now. God just wants to rest with us right now. He just wants to bathe you in who He is and just begin to lather you with Him, with Himself. For as much as we want Him, He wants us. And nothing else will do. Nothing else. So Jesus, we just pray for Yakima right now. Lord, that You would lift this city up and begin to just call it by name, God. That it would begin to recognize its identity in You, Jesus. Papa, that each of us as individuals would begin to unite together under Your name in Your kingdom of love, God. And for our government, Jesus, that You would be with them in this week as well, Lord. And that they'd begin to just have divine encounters with You, Jesus, and Your people, Lord. And that they would receive hope and thanksgiving and love, Jesus, like never before. God, that their thoughts would begin to shift into Your thoughts, Jesus. And that they'd begin to put into motion the things that You want done for our nation, God. For our city, Lord. For our state, Papa. Yeah. And that You would bless their families. And that whatever stresses, Lord, are on their plate right now, Father, that You'd begin to give them blueprints on how to resolve those things. So that those burdens would become light, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And for our hospital workers and our police officers and firefighters and all those people, Lord, who are standing on those lines, Jesus, would just also just get like a renewed joy and a renewed energy, Jesus, to continue in on this fight, Lord. And that they also would receive rest in their working, Jesus, that it would become that they would have the ability, Jesus, to work from a place of rest in You, God, and that they would continue to be able to express hope because they're receiving hope, Jesus. I thank You, God. I thank You so much for everything that You want to do, for who You are. I thank You for loving us in this place. And we just praise Your name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Woo! Let's give it up. Yeah. I love you guys. I love being here with you. I love being able to praise Jesus with you. I thank you guys that you still come. I mean, the conditions aren't great outside, and we could be cuddled up on our couch and warm and sleeping, but you guys choose to come here and just enjoy Papa's presence with me, and that just means the world. I hope you guys know that. Like, I love being here with you. There's nowhere else I'd rather be on a day like today, the day that He has made, in Jesus' name. Let's see here. I know we have announcements coming up. Okay. Oh, okay. So Jesus, I just pray for our government leaders. Papa, I just declare that your vision would become their vision, Lord. Yeah, that your thoughts would be their thoughts, Jesus, and that you would just begin to drop, just droplets of hope and droplets of joy, droplets of peace and goodwill on people, Jesus. Lord, that they would want to make a difference, Father, a good difference against the odds, Jesus, and that they would begin to, that you would give them blueprints on how to stand strong and bring in your kingdom into ours, Jesus. Yeah. And that your will would be done over Yakima, over Washington, over the United States and the world, Jesus, that those who are enslaved would just be set free. Yeah, and that government officials and workers and them would just also, they'd want to work together on how to bring resolve in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Every Tuesday, we have women's meeting every Tuesday. I have yet to be able to make that happen for myself, but I know that it is such a beautiful place to be. I remember being in her cell before, and she always brings a rhema word and just things that are so practical, yet so like mind-blowing. And I love hearing her when she gets to tell me a little recap of what was spoken and just the encouragement that's been given. So if you need that or you know someone who does, please make sure they get her number. It's up there on the screen from 7 to 8 on Tuesdays, as well as Wednesdays for the men. Pastor Mike always brings a dynamic word that has lots of layers and will continue to feed you throughout the week as you meditate on it. So 7 to 8 on Wednesdays. And his number's up there if you know of a guy that needs some loving through the week. And, oh yeah, our high school. What's it called? Youth. I don't know. My brain is completely gone right now. I'm still on things of, I'm dwelling in the worship. But we love Monday nights, you guys. Even, oh my goodness, those kids are so amazing and they're doing great things. I love watching how they're just getting more and more excited. Like, we're having them actually read the word, and as they're reading it, and then asking them how we could be applying it to our lives and what if there's any similarities from then to now. And just, they're all excited to answer. They're all excited to respond. If we need something from them, they're jumping up to it. And they came to our hot chocolate and prayer day, and that was amazing watching them serve the people and praying over people when we just asked them to interpret there, you know. And so it's like, it's a crazy that God is stirring in them so young, and I love that their youth is not being wasted, but that they're actually grasping these things and they're wanting to put movement to them, and that they're getting excited about their friends and family around them, and they're pouring out into their city as well. So that's exciting. So if you know of any youth that could use some encouragement, please let them know that we're here on Mondays. Even if they already go to youth group, we're not wanting to convert them and bring them here, but we'd like to give them another place to be, to just double dip through the week and give them something else to contemplate. So yeah. Yeah. Oh, giving. Yes. If you have a heart to give and the Lord puts it on your heart to do so, please know that we have these boxes here in the facility. There's one over in the mirror on your way in, one right here. Or if you like to do the tech thing, it's onelifefamilyworship.com. Click give and it'll walk you through it, right? Awesome. I did it. And the Lord's Supper, you guys, tonight. Can I get an amen? You guys, we're going to do communion together, and I am so excited for that. Like, yes, we get to eat soup and fellowship, but we also get to break bread together and just really be dwelling in the Lord on a big, bad way, on an intimate level, and I'm excited to do that with you guys. I hope you guys can make it. It's at 5, yes? Yes. So come ready to eat, stomach's empty, and then we're going to break bread together.
In 1985, this young lady made me a mom for the first time, and tomorrow is her birthday.
Aww. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday
So I just want to say that because she made my husband a dad for the first time as well. And she has been a powerhouse from the moment she was born. And we just wanted to make sure that everybody knew to just give her some extra love and blessings, you know, special prayers for her.
Thank you.
Okay. So, yes, come tonight and be ready to eat, be ready to fellowship, be ready to get in with the Lord on an intimate level. And without further ado, we have Pastor Mike and Gigi. Woo-hoo.
Hooking your cord. Mm-hmm. I'm hooking your cord. There we go.
Sorry.
That was awesome worship this morning. I love that, that song, Nothing Else Can Do. Nothing Else Will Do. No One Else Will Do. It's like a priority check a little bit. You know what I mean? Good morning. Like a priority check of where our heart is, where our life is, what we're hoping in, what we're looking for.
Yeah.
I do want to say this because I know that a lot of us are familiar with tarrying in the Lord's presence, but some of us aren't. And when Eric and Skylie are just playing, or whoever is leading worship, and they're just playing music, and they're just allowing us to kind of soak in God. I know worship seems to be something that we participate in. We're supposed to sing. We're supposed to lift our voices, lift our hands, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God wants to give back to us just as much as we want to give to him, or more so, I would say. His heart is more for us than even ourselves. Right. And so when they do that, just if you can, just go ahead and detach from the words and what's going on, and just let the Lord speak to you. Let that it comes with an anointing. I don't know if you've ever read in the scriptures where David had to go into Saul because Saul was being tormented by a demon. And they called for David because David played the harp. And when David played the harp, the evil spirit would go. Mm-hmm. It's because David, when he played the harp, he didn't just, make music. He played the harp in such a way that it created an atmosphere of God. And the evil spirit couldn't stay. And, the reasons for the evil spirit and everything, people have, ideas about that. But the key here is that when David's heart of love for God was played, and he connected with just the song, that the evil has to break. Mm-hmm. And, sometimes we don't need, a message, or we don't need, even the words of a song. All we need is his presence. Mm-hmm. And sometimes just music will bring it. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say that. Do you have anything to add?
No.
Oh, okay. Nothing to add.
Perfect.
So we are talking about what's important. I think Eric possibly thought we were going to do Taste and See the Lord is Good.
We're going to do that tonight.
Oh, we are? Oh, we're going to taste and see. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Literally, yeah. But I've been reading through the New Testament this month, and I came across scripture, as I do many times, scriptures. And this one jumped out at me. Yeah. And the way that it jumps out is it's like all of a sudden I feel like it leaps in my heart. You guys know what I'm talking about. When you read something, it's like, ah. And the reason that this caught me so much is because it continues to validate what I really feel like the Lord is teaching me, teaching us about what's important. Mm-hmm. I've come through now, 1980, I got saved, so... I mean, a lot of years.
A long time.
Long time, yeah. What's that? Yeah, not too many. But over 40 years now. And, you know, I've been through different phases of what you think is important in Christianity. You know, we went, and there was nothing wrong with all these phases. All of these truths are true. But they seem to be these understandings or these truths or these doctrines that we tend to fixate on them. Mm-hmm. And then when we fixate on them, it seems like we add all this extra stuff to them, you know, baggage that goes along with the doctrines and the ideas. And it's like we miss what's really important. And I did for years. I got to the place where, you know, I probably looked great on the outside and I probably smelled great on certain Sundays, you know, if I did my cologne. But it was like something was wrong in my heart, you know. But
you didn't even really know it.
I didn't know it until you know, you get face to face with the mirror of the gospel and, you know, the true gospel,
Jesus.
Not just in Jesus, yeah. And, you know, it's because, you know, we are very following type, you know. We like to follow. We like to, especially if we know that something else appears to be successful or you know, we're not sure what to do, so we want to follow. And I think Timothy is being addressed by Paul in these scriptures because there's a lot of stuff going on in the church where Timothy is, and the church in general, where they've kind of lost what's important. Mm-hmm. And it's the leadership, some of the leadership, that's starting to do this. So let's go ahead and read the scripture. This is 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 5.
It says 3 through 6.
3 through 6. That's what I meant.
When I left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus and stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth. Don't let them waste their time in endless discussion of myths and spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations, which don't help people live a life of faith in God. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clean conscience, and genuine faith. But some people have missed this whole point. They have turned away from these things and spend their time in meaningless discussions.
Yeah, that's like hardcore. And when I read that, what really struck me was verse 5. But when you look at verse 4, it says, don't let them waste their time in endless discussion of myths, spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations, which don't help people live a life of faith in God. And I think that's a key, is are we doing things, are we teaching things, are we communicating to our friends and neighbors that helps them live a life of faith in God? You know, if someone doesn't know the Lord, of course, you know, you have to come to the realization, the revelation that, first of all, that, you know, that God loves them and he died for them and that he wants to, you know, he wants to bring new meaning to their life.
Right.
But a lot of Christians, I don't know if they know that there's a way to walk that you can live a life of faith in God. And that's kind of what I wanted to communicate today, is what does that mean to live a life of faith in God and to follow those other principles that we just read about?
Well, and I think it's what you said at the very beginning, when there's been times in the world of, you know, revival here, revival there, seek this, seek that, you know,
we can name
sayings,
movements, right?
That have happened. That, yep. You know, God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. I mean, not that those things are bad, but we can get so caught up in seeking those things that we're not seeking Him.
Right. Or imitating those things.
Right. Imitating those things. Now, my background came from, I got saved in my early teens. I think I was even younger than Lexi is, like early teens, like 13, 12, something like that. And then I went to Bible college. And at Bible college, everybody learned about the Bible. But they got so caught up in learning about the Bible that they weren't concerned about the one who was written about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we have to be careful that we're seeking not the way, but the way maker.
Right. Or you can learn so much, or you want to know so much about, you know, the Word of God, you know, and study it.
Right.
But you miss out on the God of the Word.
Right.
Right. And that's another way to put it.
Right.
It's like, you know, we fixate on what seems to be more tangible.
Right.
And to us, a book that we can handle and hold, you know, and, you know, and read about what Jesus did and what, you know, the apostles did and what, mm-hmm. you know, the Old Testament, you know, heroes did, seems to sometimes be more real than the living God in our heart.
Right.
Which those should just be a supplement. They shouldn't be the meal that we're feeding on. We should be feeding, tasting, as you said last week, and seeing if the Lord is good.
Right.
Exactly.
And I do, not that the Word is not what we need, because we do need the Word, but if we're falling in love with the God of the Word, we're going to fall in love with the Word of God.
Amen.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that the trail to get there is God first.
Right.
Always God first. Yeah.
One more time, verse 6, and then we'll break down a little bit, verse 5. So, but some people have missed this whole point of what he just said in verse 5. They missed the point. They have turned away from these things and spend their times in meaningless discussions. And, you know, I haven't personally gone to, a seminary, but seminary teaches them the Word, but it's a lot of discussion. I did go through the book of Acts one time when I think it was when this was Foursquare. Yeah, when it was Foursquare. Was it Foursquare when I was here, or did we do that? Right. I'm trying to remember. Maybe I can't remember now. But anyway, I went through the book of Acts, and it was I had three books that I read for this class, and I think this was Life Bible College, and it's not to put Life Bible College down. But I had a book that was on, this is what you're reading, and this is kind of a commentary. Then I had another book that I read to refute that commentary. And then, you know, and then I had the book of Acts that I was reading myself. And so it's like, well, you know, this book, which we like most of it, but some of the things they're saying here, so they had another book that I would read. So to me, it was like endless discussions of what, you know, and it was over, frankly, trivial things.
Yeah.
You know, it was over, you know, when the way that the Holy Spirit came. You know, tongues of fire. What was that actually? Well, we don't know. Nobody was there. I mean, we can all speculate, you know. We can all say, yeah, it was literally tongues of fire, or, you know, it was, or that they were speaking in heavenly languages and they were interpreting, but everybody wanted to, this is what it meant. And the thing is, it's like, well, what about just that it was a miracle that took place? It was God's love being poured out on mankind after all that waiting, you know, not just the 50 days from Passover, but since, you know, Adam and Eve, they were waiting to have God's presence fill the earth again.
And they got to
experience
it. And like we say, you hear us say all the time, we're in this time purposefully.
Mm-hmm.
We are set into this time that God has.
Been chosen.
We are chosen.
Exactly.
All of us. We were built for this era. We were born for this era. This is when God said, Eric, this is when you have to minister here. This has to be your time. It can't be any other time. And
I've created you for this time.
Exactly.
Let's go that way. It's not just like he was, you know, like some kind of, you know, pulled off a shelf. I'm going to draw. No, he was formed for this time. We are all formed for this time. We were all like a vessel created to be filled at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Some say, oh, I wish it would have been alive when Jesus was alive, or, you know, be able to see, you know, the parting of the Red Sea, whatever it was. But you would not have been fulfilled in another time. This is your time to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
This is God's time that he appointed for you, which is powerful when you think about it. What a great affirmation of value for individuals to know that they have been chosen to be alive at this time. So let's go ahead and break this down a little bit. We're 11:51. Oh, we might be able to do this. So the purpose of my instruction is that. So in other words, Paul's telling Timothy why he gives the instructions he gives. Not just the previous instructions, why he communicates what he communicates about. And it's so that all believers would be filled with love. I think that was the part that jumped off the page at me. Wait a minute, Paul, it's not that all believers would follow, you know, certain rules. You know, all believers will, you know, conform a certain way. Then all believers will go to church at 10:30 every Sunday, or go to church, you know, on Sunday in general. Or no, it's that all believers would be filled with love. That love is the main core of why, hopefully, why we teach, why we preach. Not so that we could be heard, not so that, you know, we can, you know, say, well, I preached a word on Sunday, so I went and I fulfilled my duty. No, hopefully, when we communicate, when stuff comes out of our mouth, the essence of it should be love. Yeah. And, you know, we've been going through Revelations now for the Wednesday night. And sometimes we're reading stuff and I'm going, okay, I've got to bring this back to love. I almost always do, because even though it's a lot of stuff, I've got to say, okay, so what is the foundation of God's heart in all of this? Because
right.
It's good to know all the things and maybe even, you know, have an understanding of what's going on, but if we don't realize the motivation behind God doing all of this, revealing even to John those 22 chapters that he wrote. If we don't realize that the motivation for that was love.
Right.
You can get caught up in all of the plagues and the seals and the bowls. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with studying those things, but we have to understand that God's motivation for all of mankind is love. Even his wrath is out of love, which is hard to understand, but it is. It's no different than a parent when he punishes his child because they've been disobedient. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes it can be out of anger, but the main motivation is out of love. We want them to know that what they're doing has you know, either hurt somebody or caused, you know, pain to, you know, to themselves, and we don't want them to do it again. Mm-hmm. So filled with love that comes from. So this I love this part because it's telling us where love comes from. Some people say, oh, I just don't know how to feel the love of God, or I don't know how to feel love for people. Well, listen, it comes from something. And it comes, first of all, from a pure heart. Pure heart. And we'll talk a little bit about that. A clear conscience. You said clean conscience. Very similar. Clear, clean conscience and genuine faith. So let's look at a scripture that will kind of build on that. 1 Peter 22 and 23.
1 Peter 1.
1.
22 and 23, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
So Peter's telling him, since you have been purified, your souls have been purified through obeying the truth. You know, obedience being better than sacrifice. And, you know, obedience to the truth is basically us hearing what God is telling us and responding with, yes, Lord, what you're asking me to do, I'll do it. Not just putting, you know, 1,000 rules on us that we all have to follow, but what truth has he revealed to us now and our obedience to it.
Right.
Not what someone else has come up to. This is how you have to live like a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they were doing in that time. You, if you really want to be a Christian, you Gentiles, get circumcised. Because then you'll be a good Jewish Christian, you know. Or stop eating crab. If you stop eating crab, you're going to be a good Christian. You know, and they had to go and deal with that in Jerusalem. The whole church had to say, listen, no. When the Lord called the Gentiles, he didn't put a whole bunch of stuff on them. He just called them. He said, believe in Jesus, receive my Holy Spirit, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and that's good. You know, they told him not to eat food sacrificed to idols or food strangled. They gave him a few instructions, but that was it. Mm-hmm. So what does this mean? Follow the truth, obeying the truth. It says, God reveals truth to you, and you know it's from him. Obey it. Say, yes, Lord, help me. If I'm having a problem obeying it, teach me how I obey this truth. Teach me how I live out how you want me to live. It's through the Spirit, though, in sincere love of the brethren. It's amazing how when you're not loving your brothers and sisters, it's hard to be obedient to God. Mm-hmm. That is crazy when you think about it. No, I can be obedient to God. No, you can be religious. You can have a form of godliness and even be denying his power. Mm-hmm. Is this really true for Christians? Absolutely. I can't love you, well, as your husband, that'd really be bad, but as brothers and sisters in Christ, if we can't love each other, and love is the word agape, that means that it's a charitable gift of love that we give to each other.
It's a gift.
Yeah, it's not something that they earn from us, and mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you've been nice to me, so I'll love you back. No, it's something we give. That's why we can give agape to our enemies. We can love our enemies because it's a gift we give them. But if you look at it, if we don't love each other, as John says, how can we say we love God? Mm-hmm. And if we can't love God, surely we can't be obedient to him. Or at least we're going to struggle with it, right? Mm-hmm. From a sincere love one another. Sincere love. Love one another with a pure heart. Having been born again. He's reminding, you've been born again. You've been born with an incorruptible seed. There's a life in you that wasn't there before. A life in you that's now growing and flourishing. This is not impossible for you to do. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 19:22. Hebrews 10:19-22. Who's going to say there's a Hebrews 19?
Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
I love this scripture because what we're starting to drill down to is what is the source of this life that we can accomplish these things to be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. I mean, if that's what we're to live out, how do we do that? You know, and some people who say, well, I can tell you, you know, read your Bible every day, say the rosary. I mean, you know, different rules for different classes of you know, or organizations, if you want to call it that. And there's nothing wrong, you know, with people drawing close to God through some kind of way that they can relate. And the Word of God, prayer, listening to worship, that's all, you know, part of it. But it's not an end to itself. It has to be through this. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying, coming into his presence. You have the ability to come into his presence. I always love when you think about, you know, where it says, come boldly before the throne of grace, where we can find mercy and help in time of need. Mm-hmm. And that one day I was sharing, I realized, wait a minute, when do you need mercy? You don't need mercy when everything's going well. God's not asking us to come boldly before the throne of grace when we're got everything going on perfect. No, he's saying when you are having the worst day of your life and you've done things that you think are unforgivable, come to me, because you're going to find mercy and help in this time of need. So, by a brand new living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. You know, we're going to take communion tonight when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And, you know, there's a point where we break the bread, you know, and or bite it in our mouth if that's you know, if it's a single piece, however you want to say it. Because you're not going to break that little cracker because it's nothing left. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. If you think about it, his flesh was ripped. His flesh was torn. And you know, you can say, well, it's symbolic that the veil and his flesh were torn. Well, yes, it's symbolic, but it's also spiritual. Something took place. When his body was torn, the veil in the temple was torn, and the separation between God and man was reestablished. Mm-hmm. There's no more separation. What?
Say amen.
Amen. Yeah. And so when we celebrate the body being broken, it's like, wow, his body being broken means we're reconnected.
Yeah.
That we're now put back in a place of union. That's why it's called communion, common union with God. And we're celebrating that when we feast mm-hmm. on his blood and his body. So then we have a high priest over the house of God. Can't get into that right now, but let us draw near with a true heart. So where does this true heart come from? Well, it says here, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. See, when the blood of Jesus is applied to our lives through his sacrifice, we receive a pure heart. It's not like we're supposed to like keep all thoughts pure for the rest of our lives or our, you know, because it's impossible. How many see things on TV you didn't want to see or hear things on from people, you know, walking around and you didn't want to hear or see things, people walking around you didn't want to see, right? And your mind goes to places you don't want it to go. But that's not the pure heart. The pure heart comes from his blood being applied to us. And we can be pure and spotless before him. And it's not about us measuring up to a standard to be pure. It's about receiving the standard that's already pure. And that's Jesus. When we receive him as a standard, we then have a pure heart. But you have to stay in him. Mm-hmm. So, let's read this last verse. And I love this because I really thought it broke it all down.
Go ahead.
I've always read this. It's like a report card. We got to do this. It's a report card. But something struck me today that just like, oh my goodness, I love what this says. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Now that sounds pretty like, oh wow, I got to test my faith to see if it's genuine. Because remember it said, went up there, in a genuine faith. Mm-hmm. That word genuine means not disguised. In other words, you're not being something that you're not. You're not coming to church on Sunday like, woohoo, I'm all excited. I got like following God, everything's good, praise the Lord. And then you go out and you just, you know, live for the devil all week, you know. That's not genuine faith.
Yeah.
Sorry, just call them like I see some. it's not that you're not that you don't, you know, love God, but it's like you're not walking in a real life. If you're struggling, then tell us you're struggling. You don't have to put on, you know, a facade. I think everybody knows that here. None of us have to impress each other. You know, we're not in some kind of, you know, hierarchical building thing here where you want to, you know, get to the top. As far as I'm concerned, if you're at the top, you're at the bottom. That's the true biblical principle of being at the top. So examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. So we know that Jesus Christ is among us, right? Yeah, God is here. How much you understand that, though, is important. Because if not, see, Paul's giving a conjunction here. He says, if not, if you surely don't know that Jesus Christ is here among you, you have failed the test of genuine faith. See, your test of your genuine faith isn't that you were able to, you know, have a laundry list of things that you've accomplished. Your test of your genuine faith isn't that you've been able to, you know, read through the New Testament in a month, or that you raised the dead, or that you spoke in other tongues. That's not your test of your genuine faith. It's surely you know that Jesus is among you. Do we really believe that Jesus is here, that he lives in us and he dwells in us? That's genuine faith. Reminds me of Hebrews where it says that's without faith it's impossible to please God, and how Enoch walked with God. And then he wasn't anymore. And then it says, you know, that it takes faith to believe that God is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What is it talking about? We believe that he's here. We believe that we can have a relationship with him. We believe that we can go into the Holy of Holies. That's genuine faith. It's not about our condition of you know, what we've accomplished or not accomplished or how much we've done for God. It's do we have a relationship with him? It's no different than a husband and wife. If they don't have a genuine relationship, you know, then, you know, it's only going to last so long. Because right. How many know that relationships are hard? Any testimonies, though? Yeah, I could probably get lots of testimonies, but we won't go there. I mean, it's work. But if it's a genuine relationship, you could call it genuine faith. You believe in each other. You believe that that person loves you. And you love them back genuinely. You know what happens? You go through tough times. The trials of your relationship produces strength. It's the same thing with our walk with God. The trials of our relationship with God produces strength in us. True strength.
Yeah.
Godly strength. And so, you know, when we ask ourselves what's important, it's simple. It's love. Mm-hmm. Love through a pure heart. Mm-hmm. Love through a clear conscience, which we get from having a pure heart before God and having our hearts sprinkled. And it's genuine faith. And if you want to walk in love, have God work those principles out in you. Mm-hmm. Have a true experience with him.
I just want to share one thing. I remember at a time when in my life that I was having a really hard time with the intimacy of that, you know, the intimacy of Jesus creating in me a clean heart, the intimacy of I know that I believe, but now, Lord, help my unbelief.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that when I read the scriptures in that area with Thomas and he was doubtful, I think that the doubtful part didn't surprise Jesus at all. Because he knows that we all have doubt or that we all have some uncleanness or we all have sin or we all have issues having enough faith. But it's the heart of it when we can say, help the unbelief or help my lack of faith or help. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So me, that's always been that test of faith that we're talking about here is that I'm like how Thomas was, I believe, but help the part in me that doesn't believe. Because it's always before me. I have faith, but help the part that doesn't have faith. I love you, but help the part that doesn't love you. Do you know what I'm saying? And because we're all a work in progress. He's not shocked by the part that's not progressing.
Right.
It doesn't bother him. Because all of us have a part that's not progressing. But he wants us to bring that to him too and say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, I have faith, but help the part of me that doesn't have faith. I have love, but help me to love more. And that's when we know that we're on the right journey. That's when we know we've had the test and we've passed the test.
And that's genuine faith.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm struggling with my faith. Help me in this area. Yes. That's still genuine faith. You're trusting in God for the answer.
Yes.
Amen.
You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the better than you, there's nothing better than you.
that your faith is a work in progress and Jesus is with you the whole way. I am going to take one more opportunity to talk about tonight. It's at 5 o'clock. Everything is provided. You don't have to bring anything unless you have loved ones, friends, neighbors, whoever that you just know would love not a church service, just a time to be together, have fellowship, and then we're going to take communion together. And so 5 o'clock downstairs in the basement, we'll see you all there with your friends and your family. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Woo.